Hello, everyone, and welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Saylet.
And I'm Kalina.
And welcome back to episode whatever this episode is. And where we, we're a podcast where we read and talk about paranormal romance novels. And yes. So.
Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah. So we are experimenting again with new technology because apparently that's what we like to do. We just buy new shit. And experimented, but we upgraded to a mic a couple of recordings ago, and I've always had headphones because I'm the editor of our recordings, but now Kalina's got headphones.
I've got my very own set of headphones, which makes me sound real loud in my own head.
I think it's awesome. It sounds so cool. I'm so fucking glad that I figured out how to do it, because I was like, that didn't work. We don't know how to do that at all.
We'll see if this is a good way or not. We'll find out.
It's gonna be end. It's gonna be great.
All right.
I'm
positive that this is the way to go.
Yes.
I'm much more skeptical. I'm always afraid that if I hear myself too loudly, I'm going to start talking quieter because I don't like it.
Why? So, you don't like the sound of your voice?
No. Horribly no. No.
Aww.
No. In my head, without amplification, it sounds perfectly fine. Sure. But then when you hear it recorded back to you, you're like, that's terrible. Who listens to me? Everyone thinks that. I know. Everyone's like, why doesn't my voice sound like it does in my head?
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I sound very nasal outside of my head.
That's so funny. I think it's hilarious. You sound fine to me.
All right. Well. All right. We sound very loud. Yeah, headphones on.
Yeah. And so, apparently Kalina's got some new neighbors upstairs. So if you hear in the midst of us talking that I cannot take out because I won't be able to, a bunch of kids stomping and screaming upstairs, then...
Yeah. I haven't heard them screaming too much, thankfully. But a family of, like, 7 moved in upstairs.
Wow.
And all the kids are, like, preschool age.
Like, yeah.
Tiny children. Babies. And they seem to really enjoy running around, up and down the hallways in the condo above us. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's new. It's a new fun thing to live with.
So FYI, just saying.
If you hear stomping, that's probably them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Someday, Saylet's husband Dan's going to build us a studio.
That's right.
That's what I keep asking for.
I keep asking for it too, and he keeps ignoring me. He keeps saying, oh, what's for dinner?
And you're like, no, I want a studio.
She said, oh, what did you do at work today?
Where's my sound studio?
No. Do what I want.
We have no evidence that anyone listens to us, but we want a studio. We need to be professional.
It's gonna happen.
Someday.
100 episodes in. Hey, by this time, maybe we'll have 20 listeners.
It could happen.
It could happen.
And they could all be like, we listen to you. Why do you say no one listens to you? And they'd be very sad. I'm sorry.
You guys are not no one.
I'm sorry, sad.
You guys are everyone.
You're all of the best people because you listen to us. Anyway.
Yeah.
We should move on. What book did we read today?
We read Kiss of Fury by Deborah Cook. And this was a handheld eye movement brain processing book. When you had to fucking read it yourself. Reading's hard.
Reading.
It's hard for me, at least.
Yeah. It's just a different than listening to an audiobook. I mean, it takes a different amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, more of it.
Like, more time. For sure.
Because you have to actually carve out the time to sit down and read versus, I'm going to listen to this while I clean the house.
Yeah.
It's harder.
I want to listen to it and play video games, but it just ain't happening. So, this is the second book of the...
Dragonfire series.
Thank you, Dragon. Dragonfire series. We read the first one and we talked about, I don't know, episode 4 or whatever with Quinn and Sarah.
20 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Like
a year ago, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So I'll give my 1-second synopsis because I like to do it for these books, apparently. Just these ones.
Just this series.
And then Kalina's got it. So this one is The Warrior and the Wizard Build a Green Machine and Save the World.
Yes, that is true. The first one was The Smith and Seer Bone and Save the World. This is a little bit different.
A little different. I mean, they bone in this one,
They also do bone, but the bigger issue, I think, is the
Green Machine.
Green Machine.
Yep.
So in this book, we have the two main players are Donovan Shay and Alex Madison. Donovan is our dragon friend. We met him in book one, and he's one of the younger of the pyre, and he's a very avid fighter, and wants to just take on... Oh, it's so loud, guys. When you're quiet and it's just me talking,
that's so
it's
funny.
Just so much me.
Oh, I love it. All right,
I'm gonna push through, guys. I'm gonna push through it.
It sounds so amazing.
So yeah, we met him in the first one. He's a young, ambitious dragon who wants to just take on the slayers and defeat evil and fly solo and ride his motorcycle. And Alex. I wrote something down, now it looks like Alexis.
It does.
That's my fault. So Alex, she is like a scientist, engineer, super smart woman working on how to make cars run green. That's what the green machine of this book is. It's her and her partner's lifelong project to create this car that just uses water and produces water vapor or something as its excess instead of, you know, burning gasoline. So it's a much healthier, like cleaner, green car that she's been working on for most of her life. And so the firestorm happens, which, as we learned from the first book, it's signaled by the lunar eclipse that tells the dragons that a storm is coming, and then two people are destined to find each other, mate, and that's the only time that conception happens for the dragons, and it's important that they conceive to produce new good dragons who fight the bad dragons of the slayers. Anyway, Donovan and Alex meet. I'm gonna call her Alexis.
You know, it's because our next narrator's last name is Alexis.
I know, it's so bad. Okay. So, first, she gets attacked and almost killed by dragons. Her partner does get killed. Their design gets destroyed. She's in a hospital for 2 weeks. And then she starts to wake up and realize she's got to get out of there. She's got a deadline to meet in order for their project to still, you know, get backing and get funding. So she tries to run away. But meanwhile, Donovan shows up at the hospital to try and save her. And she doesn't trust him because he's a dragon. And the dragon killed her partner. And she also thinks she might be losing it because she's seeing dragons everywhere. But they get attacked again. So she kind of quickly realizes he is trying to help her. He's not one of the bad dragons because he does fight off the bad dragons who do show up and try to kill her. So she decides to go with him. She doesn't like the whole idea of the firestorm thing either. He's fighting it tooth and nail. He made a decision long ago that he was never going to partake in one. Mm-hmm. His dad was a real asshole who did a real number on the whole family.
Yep.
Just as in like almost all of these books where, you know, he just showed up, had one on with the mom, left, and she had to raise this kid she didn't realize was going to be a dragon. It was a bad situation. So he's a real messed up. He's got family issues, obviously, and relationship issues. So he's decided he's never going to do it. He doesn't care if the world depends upon it. He's going to ignore this firestorm. But he will help keep her alive. He doesn't want her to die.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an asshole.
He's still a good guy.
He's a good guy, but he's not in it. He doesn't want a mate. He doesn't want a long-term commitment. He wants to ride solo by himself, mm-hmm. but he also doesn't want to just get her pregnant and leave.
Right.
So he's, like, trying to do the right thing by ignoring the firestorm. She's not keen on it either. She's like, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me, but let's just, you know, hang out and see where this goes. As long as you're saving me from bad dragons, I'll stick with you.
Yeah.
So they go off. She's got a prototype hidden that she's got to put together so she can resurrect the green machine. A whole bunch of a lot of extraneous stuff happens with that are more important for the overall like plot of the series, but not really necessary for this book. So if mm-hmm. you're interested, I highly recommend reading it because there's just no way I can even begin to cover.
There's so much going on.
All the shit about the Wyvern and the dragons and the teeth and the stuff and the Dark Academy and the dead dragons coming back to life
yeah.
and a bunch of shit. There is a bunch of shit in this one.
Yes.
This one's more heavy than a lot of them
yeah.
in terms of all of the extraneous stuff. So at the end of the day, Donovan and Alex just can't fight the firestorm. It's too hot. It's too steamy. They're alone together in her brother's house that's like magical or something. I mean, I think it's all supposed to be
it's very high tech,
but it feels magical to me because they like talk to it and the house does shit for him. And
yeah, well, he's like got a conscience.
Yeah.
Oscar.
Anyway. So naturally, after some back and forth, a lot of like getting close to having it, but like and pushing each other away and like debating it and, you know, what does this mean? Are we really going to do this? They eventually do. They go through with it and consummate the storm and yay. They saved the world.
They saved the world.
Their pregnancy.
Yeah, they conform. Is that
conform,
the word?
Conform, yeah.
They conform.
To societal pressures. of the weir.
Yes, this is like, the world would end.
The world will end if they don't have sex, guys. Yeah. It's a very big pressure.
It's a big pressure. Make them dragon babies. Oof.
Of course, they're very sexy, and so it's okay. I'm okay with sure. it. I mean, they all of their kissing and their constant, like, playing at it, but then, yeah. like, backing away and, like, oh, maybe just we teasing. Will. Maybe we will, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. That's nice, and it builds the...
It's fun.
Yeah, the tension builds between yeah. them, so you just can't put it off any longer. Yeah.
That's good.
So, in the end, they end up together, and which is a surprise to no one.
What? Did not expect that.
Who saw that coming?
So, something that we wanted to do that's a really stupid sentence. Something that we should have been doing and consistently kept on doing was what we originally started this podcast for, was to talk about current events and current issues and things like that and try to tie them into the books and subjects that we bring in. We kind of got wrapped up in a lot of just really talking about the books and then our own personal experiences around it, which is fine. I think those are all good stories. I think more than anything, you and I are growing mm-hmm. together as a partnership,
yes.
As a friendship, and that is beautiful to me. So I still love it, and I still mm-hmm. think, obviously, we're still going to continue it, our kiss and tells and our fun fuck facts and all of that stuff. But we also think that trying to pull in current stuff.
Yeah, we just seem to have lost a little bit, in the past couple of episodes maybe, a little bit of that thread of social commentary.
Yes.
That yeah. was kind of important in the beginning and part of the reason we wanted to talk about these books. And mm-hmm. It definitely comes back in this one, guys. So if you're yeah. not into listening to Kalina's soapbox for half an hour, then you might want to turn off this podcast. Because I got some thoughts on shit that I need to talk about.
This is going to be good because Kalina and I are coming from very different, I guess, positions on the topics that we're going to talk about, and they're not combative. They're no. they're really good. So I think it's going to be good
they
to hear.
They can all coexist.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It's going to be good to hear both sides, and it's not just only two sides. Obviously, there's a billion yeah. sides to on the topics we're going to talk about. But that way, we're not just both talking, or you're just talking. I'm like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So first of all, I just want to say, they create zombie dragons.
Look. There are zombie dragons. The Slayers have resurrected dead dragons and brought them back to life mm-hmm. to fight the pyre.
Which I think, double tap, yo. Double fucking tap. You kill the bastard and then you rip him limb to limb and then, like, destroy him.
We learned in these books that in order to be truly dead forever, the body of the dragon has to be exposed to all four elements.
Mm-hmm.
Like air, fire, water, earth.
Yeah.
Earth, water, earth, air, water.
Earth, air, all fire, water.
Anyway. And if they're not, then they can be brought back through nefarious means and turned into zombies.
They're zombies. Zombie dragons.
And not only are there just zombie dragons, but they naturally only bring back, like, or try to focus on the family members of these good dragons.
Yeah.
So, like, all of a sudden the good dragons are fighting, like, their brothers and yeah. their fathers and their cousins and, like, everyone who they thought was dead, who was dead.
And
who were
dead.
Who are dead.
They are dead.
Whatever the correct word there was supposed to be that I didn't choose. And now they're attacking them and they yep. have to kill them. They have to kill them again. They have to rip them up and burn them to crisp and
do it all over again.
It's very upsetting. So yeah, zombie dragons.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Sorry. I just wanted to bring that up because I just thought that it's really cool. It's like they're fucking zombie dragons.
All right. So, not in just this book, but in all of the books in this series, at least the ones that I've read so far, the driving force here is fate and prophecy. There's these lunar phases, and there's these prophecies that are in the lore of the dragons that explain, you know, in the first book, the seer and the smith had to get together. They were going to create something very important for the peer. In this book, it's the wizard and the warrior, and it's like they wouldn't succeed apart, they could only succeed together. And the idea of these firestorms, which is the only time that the dragons can find a mate that can carry to term offspring. Mm-hmm. It's the only time they can procreate. It's the only time that they can have children. The only time that there can be more dragons is if you have a... Although I'm not 100% sure. I feel like the firestorm shows you your mate, but then you and your mate can procreate outside of a firestorm afterwards.
I would assume so.
Like, because, like Quinn had, like, five brothers.
Yeah.
And I don't think and that they kept all, having...
They were all dragons.
They were all dragons. They mm-hmm. were all brothers. I do think that somehow the pyre can only have male dragon offspring.
Maybe it's the first one.
But I think the first one indicates
pace.
This is who... This is who can bear your children, and that's all.
Right.
This is the one female on the planet, the one human female on the planet that can have kids with you.
So then, wait, was Donovan's brother Delaney from the same mom?
Yes. They thought they were cousins, and then they realized they were brothers.
Yeah.
Donovan didn't realize his mom had another kid.
Oh, okay.
Because his childhood had been so fucked up.
Well, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, same mom, same dad. So they're real, like, same, yeah.
So then, yeah, so then the firestorm really does.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's a side note. What I meant to talk about was, I don't like it at all. And I loved these books, and I just, it never occurred to me until rereading them that I was like, man, that really sucks. If you're the woman going about your life, living your life the way you want to live it, and all of a sudden some fucking mystic dragon bullshit comes down and gets you all horny for this one dude who now all of a sudden you have to bear his fucking children, and now they're dragons, and you're just like, this isn't the way my life was going to go. I didn't have this in my plan, but fate decided I needed to do this instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that. That doesn't work for me. Be real mad. I mean, Alex is the perfect example of why mm-hmm. this is frustrating, I think. It wasn't so upsetting in the first book because Sarah had kind of lost her way. She had quit her high-powered job and was running her aunt's book and magic store. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, her fiancé had left. She was out of a long-term relationship. She just was kind of not doing much. She was kind of floating through life and not doing much. She didn't have a long-term plan so much. Her plan had recently fallen apart.
Right.
Whereas Alex is, like, dedicated, workaholic, with a plan. She knows what she's doing. She's going out and doing it and getting it. And she doesn't need a man to come along and ruin
yeah.
for her.
And some fate of the firestorm telling her that she had to have babies.
Yeah, she wasn't, like, it didn't seem like from the book that she'd really thought about it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really on her radar. It wasn't mm-hmm. something she was concerned about. And now all of a sudden she has, like, a week to make a decision about whether or not she wants to really fuck this guy because she's going to get pregnant if she does.
Yep.
That's not a lot of time to decide whether you're going to have a kid or not with a man you just met.
Definitely not. Especially when you have those reservations. When you've made that decision in your life to either not have kids or, you know, you're committed to your work and your job and everything and you're super content with just being you
mm-hmm.
and sleeping with whoever and not having to worry about having kids. So to have that put on your doorstep is a little...
It's a little jerky of this whole fate thing. It really takes away the agency of the ladies in these books because they don't get to...
It's a lot of pressure on them because at this point, you need the good pyre to fight the slayers and only the firestorm can produce the good pyre. And now you as a single lady that's part of this firestorm is almost obligated to yeah. create more pyre so that, like, the world can be protected from these slayers.
You have a baby or the world ends.
Yeah.
Oh, is that my choices? The fate of the world is resting upon my decision to have a child with the man I just met a week ago.
Right.
That seems fair. That seems real cool. Thanks for choosing me.
And not only that, and I don't know how many more books there are, but what if the woman was already married? What if she already established a family? And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I've got this firestorm. Sorry, honey, I gotta go bone this really hot dragon and save the world. Like...
I think luckily that doesn't come up. Maybe the firestorm picks. I mean, they're trying, like, the way around this is that these are destined, like, because it is fate, it's destiny.
Okay.
This is their one true mate. So it shouldn't seem like you have no choice.
Sure.
But you have no choice. But they're, like, they're like, oh, because that's why they make such a big deal about how, oh, Alex was just made for him. Like, she pushes all the right buttons.
Yeah.
You know, she's determined and spunky, and she steals his fucking Ducati motorcycle on day one, and he's, like, losing his shit over her because she can't even fucking drive it. She's slipping gears and shit, and he's just like, no! And all of his friends are laughing about how perfect she is. Like, and with Quinn and Sarah, too. Mm-hmm. You know, in that book, they were just like, he's like, I'd have noticed her even if it wasn't the firestorm.
Right,
so,
right.
It's supposed to be, and you'll see it in the third book, because eventually we'll get there, because we have to, because there's this big thing hanging over
tonight. I know, I need to I'm gonna get there.
You're gonna get there. But these are soulmates. They're destined soulmates. But I think my bigger problem is just the idea of that.
Sure.
You know.
Locking you into a relationship that you know nothing about, that you really don't want. It's almost kind of like a dowry or... Mm-hmm. Like a dowry with fate, or like an arranged marriage.
Yeah,
from the beginning.
Guess what?
You gotta marry.
So
this
nothing
guy.
You did in your life was gonna matter up right. to that point, because your choices had been made for you.
Right. Everything that like, you've established in
when
your
that eclipse happened in office. Your fucking time's up, bitch.
Yep.
Hope you enjoyed your life before now.
Yeah.
Because now you have to raise dragon babies. Yeah. So, that's my, like, I don't know. It's hard. This brings in what we're going to talk about in our Kiss and Tell and other things, which is the societal pressure to follow a normal path of marriage and children. And, like, that's the norm. And anything outside of that is considered aberrant and is looked on, like, askance by society.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Why are you making choices that we don't approve of?
Right. The expectation to, you know, in your 20s to have found your mate, in 25 to have gotten married, 30 to have children, and after that, why haven't you? Mm-hmm. Or
at any point in that timeline, it's okay for people to just question your life choices publicly and make you tell them why you think you should be allowed to do things you want to do as an adult and not have to do things the way society thinks you should have to do things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Madison seemed to be throwing her life into saving the planet in another way. Alex. Alex Madison. Those are two
she
first
also
names,
has two
and
first
I find
names.
That offensive. Sorry. Alex. Was very focused on the environment and saving the world. Like, we have to have better, you know, cleaner driving cars if we're gonna keep... so much noise. if we're going to survive as, a, you know, as humanity. So she was already doing that. She was working on saving the planet, and now she has all of that taken away from her, and she has to choose to...
She saved the planet a different way.
Have a child that'll be her contribution to the planet. And it's like, no, that's not our only contribution to the planet, you fuckers. I mean, obviously, she's still pursuing her dream of getting the
green machine up and
running and making... Although, since this book was written in 2008 and we still don't have fucking clean cars, I guess maybe she failed. Sorry, Alex.
She's to raise a fucking dragon now. What do you expect from her?
She failed. We don't have clean cars. We're still driving gas-guzzling monsters.
Especially you and I. Not especially.
Well.
We're in that... Like, everybody's fucking culprit. Anyway, so, yeah, so our Kiss and Tell is going to be, I guess, personal experiences about being asked or attacked or put in a situation where you have to, where you're just asked very personally about why you are choosing to live the life that you live. Mm-hmm. So, I can go first.
Yeah, you go first.
I guess.
Real soapboxy, so.
So here's where, like, our two different sides are going to come in. It's Dan and I got married a long time ago. I don't even remember, 15, 14 years ago. And we, from the beginning, wanted a family. It took us 10 years to get there. I had to do in vitro to do it. There was a point in our lives where we spent 2 years trying to do some infertility treatments, starting from the very beginning with Clomid and, you know, all of the stuff to get you ready and try to produce more eggs and all that other bullshit. To the turkey basting and all of that. Didn't work. I was ready to give up. I was ready to prepare my house for some adoption agencies to come in and get ready to go adopt me a rainbow full of babies. And then Dan convinced me to do in vitro. And obviously, I'm really, really glad that I did it. I have two beautiful boys from it, and it's wonderful. But prior to that, the 10 years prior to that, I got a lot of flack from mainly just close family members. I wouldn't necessarily say my family. Sometimes an aunt or an uncle or something would ask me why I don't have babies right now. Why Dan and I don't have any kids. And so I would tell them, I'm like, well, we don't really know. We want kids. It's like, I don't know how to answer this question. At one point in my life, we were at my grandmother's funeral in California, and a close family friend, I think he's like my dad's cousin or something like that, kept asking me throughout the weekend why I didn't have kids. He's like, your husband's a good man. I'm like, well, yeah, that's why I married him. And I'm like, why don't you guys have kids? Well, we're just not there yet. And I got it from him probably 4 or 5 times. And then finally I said, the very last time he asked me,
I don't know. I don't think I could have heard that without the fucking headphones.
No, that's very... Wow. This picks up good. Anyway, so the very last time he asked me, I said, you know what? My doctors told me I couldn't have a baby. And he shut up. After that, after I had to make him feel uncomfortable for him to stop asking me that question. And he wasn't the only person. There were other people there that asked that too, but it was only one time. But he was the one that just kept insisting. He was like, you should have a family. I'm like, I know that. I'm trying to have a family. And I wasn't always trying to, I wasn't explaining myself to him. All I could say was, it's not happening right now.
Yeah. And you shouldn't have to explain yourself absolutely in any direction on that. It's something we really need to work on society-wise that... Mm-hmm. You aren't entitled to know other people's information.
Right.
Like, you don't... That's not the same question as, like, hey, how's your job?
Right.
Or, like, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you up to? Any hobbies you have? Those are a little bit more, like, you know, general questions that are okay to not talk to people about. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to tell me about your hobbies, but it's not as offensive a question. It's just a general, like, hey. But the choice to have kids or the ability or the timeline on which you have kids is a personal matter. And it's only people who should be involved are the couple involved.
Right.
It's not for everybody. And you do not know when you're talking to somebody what their path is and where they are on that path. No one could know whether or not you guys were struggling trying to have kids or had made the decision never to have kids.
Right.
And either one is cool, and it's not for you to have to explain every time somebody has the feeling that they are entitled to know that information about you.
And not for them to judge you about whatever decision is that you decide to make.
And it's really hard and painful. Like, you know, that was a painful time for you.
Yeah.
And to have to constantly justify why you don't have kids to people.
Yeah.
That sucks. And, you know, I'm looking at this topic in a different light. I am purposefully child-free. I don't want children and haven't ever wanted children, and I've made that choice long ago. But it's not something that's okay, and nobody wants to hear it from you. Like, anyone who asks is like, well, you'll change your mind.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't wanted kids since I was freaking, like, 6. And why makes you think after 30 years of having the same opinion about children that I'm going to change my mind?
Right.
Just because you think I should change my mind.
Right.
That's not okay. That's none of your business. Mm-hmm. I don't want them and I don't have to talk about it. And it's something that comes up a lot because people really want
to
know.
And you don't get to make me feel bad about it.
No, you don't. I feel like I have a lot to contribute to this world outside of my ability to bear children.
Right.
And that's more important to me than that. And there's a lot of reasons not to have children.
Sure.
And I won't go into all of them, but, you know. And it's hard. It's hard to navigate the world when the expectations, especially, I don't hear about it a lot. I think maybe married men who don't have kids would get it, but not married men, I don't know as much.
Get what? I'm sorry.
Get questioned. I'm sure Dan got it.
Once he was married. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm not married and I still fucking get questioned.
As a woman.
Well, why aren't you married with kids?
There's your obligation to the world. Save the fucking world. Have some kids.
Like, actually, kids destroy the world. That's another issue. They're an environmental disaster. But... No, yeah, so it's very frustrating. And it's something we need to deal with. We need to, like, change the topic, the narration, you know, in society about it, the narrative about it, and, like, why is it okay to ask these questions? It's not okay. So we need to, like, when that question gets asked, be like, hey, it's not okay for you to ask me that.
I think we need to reteach and relearn a sense of courtesy in how we address our peers and our people and the people that are around us. You can ask general questions, but once it gets real personal about anything, then you know.
And not just, like, women in general, but, like, pregnant women are seen as almost public property. Like, people in the mall or in the stores will come up and try and touch pregnant women. I've never had this because I've never been pregnant, but I've seen it, and I've heard pregnant friends talk about it, and it's just, the idea that that would happen is startlingly unsettling to me. I'm like, if anyone ever tries to touch me without my permission, I want to be able to kill them. I just don't want that. So, you know, women's choices are not your information that you're entitled to. Women's bodies are not there for you. Don't, like, other women too, don't fucking go touch pregnant people. Right. Like, if you know them and you can ask them, then do that. That's fine. That's a question for your friends or whatever. But you see a lady in public, that's and just run for her, like, with your hands. Her body is not public property just because she's incubating a life.
Right.
That does not take away her body autonomy, her right to be an individual human being in her own body, separate from you and all of your wants and needs and desires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh, it's so upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, I probably get those questions more from women than other than men. Why don't you have a family? Why don't you have
kids? It's always from almost always.
Generally,
Other women are who ask me.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your choice to have a child is not the same as my, you know, like, that is not the only choice.
Right.
There's a lot of choices. It's a lot of them. And some of them are no children.
And then if you are talking to somebody and you're having that conversation and you are the guy that says, well, why don't you have kids? How come you don't want kids? And they say, I don't want any kids. I don't like kids. Why then are you encouraging someone who doesn't want kids or like kids to fucking have kids? Now you're just going to create another a person that's miserable, that has a bunch of miserable little babies that are going to grow up to be miserable or dead or whatever, because the person that bore them doesn't fucking want them.
Don't fucking want kids.
If you don't, fine. Okay, great. Then
that's fine. Because, it's not a mandatory requirement of being human, and
not a right we shouldn't of passage, encourage not a
people who do not want them to have them. Oh, you'll change your mind. You'll love yours. Oh. Well, that's a terrible thing to say. What if I don't?
What if I genuinely just, like I said, don't fucking like it?
Do not goddamn like them. They are messy. I do not appreciate that. But, I mean, there's that. There's also, like, the idea that women without children are selfish. I get that a lot. Oh, you're being selfish.
I've heard that.
I feel like I'm actually making an incredibly selfless choice. what about not having a kid is selfish?
Right.
I'm not imposing my will on another life. I'm not bringing them into the world unasked and deciding, guess what? Now you exist. That's selfish. Not having a kid isn't selfish.
Yeah. Well, that and you're creating life, and then you're pretty much raising them to die. Everybody lives to die. Now who's the asshole?
Yeah.
Now you've brought people into the earth that are just gonna fucking die. You know, I mean,
that's very bleak. I thought I was bleak about this, but that's very bleak. I have another bleak.
Just real, dude.
Well, I feel like currently our world seems to be a giant dumpster fire of awfulness, and I feel like that's not fair to bequeath that to children.
Sure.
My parents, like, they're not that, like, we're not that, I don't know what I was going to say. We're not that young or old anymore. I don't know. But even my dad is like, man, I didn't realize your lives were going to be so much harder. Like,
Your generation.
Yeah, because, like, when they, in the 80s, when they chose to have kids, it didn't necessarily, I don't know, there was the Cold War. Things were pretty bleak, so they made some choices. But he's like, man, it seems like things change so much, and so you cannot even predict what the life is.
Sure.
For someone, so
each era is going to have their different struggles.
And hell, we could turn this bitch around and have the best planet ever, and then maybe it'd be great to have kids. I don't know. But I just think you can't count on it. So I don't like being called selfish. I think that that's disgusting. I read an article about how child-free women are one of the best resources in the country. They donate more hours, more time, more money, more... They, like, give to the kids in their lives, so their nephews, nieces, or friends' kids. They spend time with them. They, you know, they have extra hours to volunteer in all kinds of sources. They work... most of them work really hard, have, like, you know, good jobs and contribute to... So it's like, don't call us selfish. We're doing wonderful things with our excess of time and money that we have because we didn't have children.
Right. And doing other things. Helping animals, helping the environment, helping...
things like that.
All sorts. I mean, imagine... obviously, Alex didn't. She was not able to build the green machine because she was too busy raising dragon babies.
I mean, yeah.
And now we have to drive gas-guzzling cars, just like you said.
Yeah.
Damn you, Firestorm.
Firestorm ruined the planet. Damn dragons. So it's just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think this will be a good, I like to say segue because I don't know any other word. Into our fun fuck fact while we're talking about it. Let's just bring it up.
Yeah.
This is from the Vox.com.
Oh, V-O-X. I like Vox. Vox is great.
And it is the historically low birth rate explained in three charts. Obviously, I'm not going to show
you
guys
the charts.
but pretty much U.S. women are having fewer and fewer babies. In some ways, it's a sign of progress. The number of births in the U.S. dropped by 2% between 2016 and 2017 to 60.2 births per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44, continuing a general downturn that started with the Great Recession of 2018. So women are having...
2008.
Nah? Sorry, 2008. Okay. 2008. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess 2008 is a weird year, too.
2008.
But I was like, no, we haven't... 2018's not had a recession, knock on wood, yet.
Yeah. And for a plethora of reasons, not just because of infertility or anything, but for...
economic choices. Hell, if you're in Denver, you can't fucking afford to live here. So everybody has like four roommates, and how are you gonna have kids with fucking four roommates?
Seven people
live in the fucking 2-3 bedroom unit above me.
Yeah, and people that are—I mean, like I.
That was Alex. That was Alex.
Dana and I aren't struggling financially by any means. We live very comfortably. We're Dana is very good fiscally.
Alex.
So he, you know, he keeps us well, but we've got 2 4-year-olds that I just enrolled into school that I have to now unenroll in school because I cannot afford to put my kids in preschool. I can't afford $1,100 a month to put my kids into a school that they need. Like, you need to fucking put your kids in this, their development, their brain development, 80-90% of it, 0 to 3, it's so important. Like, all of that stuff is so important. Mm-hmm. And we aren't in our society, our culture, our government, whatever, is not invested in it. They just don't give a shit about it. It's hard to raise kids right now. So now you're going to have to find your mom, the grandma, or the nice lady down the street to watch your kids while you go to work because you can't put them in school. Mm-hmm. Or you quit your job because now you can qualify for the lower income credits so that you can put your kids in school. Now you're not working. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have a home to live in. Now you have to move in with your friend. It's just all fucked up. Priorities are all fucked up.
Yeah.
So it's hard. That's probably a big decision where women are like, I'm not going to go through that. I'm not going to put my kids through that.
I couldn't afford $1,000 a month.
Fuck no.
I don't even pay $1,000 a month for my fucking mortgage.
Dude. That's
Jesus.
$10,000 a year. That is the state tuition in college. You know, like, I mean...
For preschool. For 2 4-year-olds. Something, going to preschool for a day.
Something that this is their given right. They should be able to learn. They should be able to learn.
And it's good for society.
Yes.
Like, education is just so useful. And
especially
all the
at that level.
The studies have shown that starting kids in preschool helps them at every stage down the line.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. they have are better off if you start them early.
Socially and emotionally and academically,
mm-hmm.
just so much better for them.
Yeah.
But for those of us that are in this boat,
yeah.
can't, I mean, you have to make your sacrifices. I get that, but I shouldn't have to make those sacrifices. Those should just be given to not just my kids, all those kids.
Oh,
every
yeah.
single kid in this.
All everywhere. ECE should be free.
It should be free. It was free for us.
I know. That's the thing
so
I was shocked at. Because I was like, I swear, I was in lots of preschool. I was in preschool for like ever, I felt like.
Yeah, we were probably in it like 2, 3, and 4. And then kindergarten.
Kindergarten, I did. Yeah.
You have to pay for kindergarten too.
You have to pay for kindergarten?
Yes. Kindergarten, you have to pay for as well. I know.
Free school at DPS doesn't start till first grade.
Right.
But you can't go to first grade without having...
No.
Can you just walk into first grade?
Yes.
It's like, this kid's now in first grade.
I believe so.
Oh, well,
you
that
can.
Sounds crazy.
You can. I believe so. I could totally be wrong. You can't start school until you're 5. But I think you can skip kindergarten, too, and go straight into first, which is just nonsense.
So bad.
It's just...
So backwards.
It's so insane.
That's
it's so insane. Yeah. And then you get all these open seats in these schools because a lot of families are moving out of Colorado, moving to different states, because they can't afford to live here. You know?
I don't know if you've used the term a lot yet. I feel like...
Well, yeah, but there's still a lot of people here.
There's a shit ton of people who still are moving here on the regular.
That is very true. That is very true.
But yeah, so there's a lot of choices that go into it and mm-hmm. a lot of decisions, and it's not easy. And no one should take it lightly.
No.
And no one should judge anyone else's choices.
Right.
Like, I talk a lot of shit about how bad kids are for the environment and how the world's falling apart. And choosing to not have kids, I'm saving the world. But that doesn't mean I think that anyone who has kids is actively destroying the planet. That's not true either. We have
sure.
to. Like, there's got to be a nice balance.
Absolutely. And I don't think just because you don't have kids, you and I can't be friends.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think any less of you. We don't want kids. What am I doing this podcast for? And our last episode was episode 24. And they are no longer friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. that's just nonsense.
No.
Stupid.
Yeah.
But.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, we just, it's something to talk about. This book really brought it up because I was real angry about this book.
It did.
And the first time I read it, I was like, I love this book. And then I reread it for this dumb podcast and I was like, there's some problems
did
in this book.
Did you say this dumb podcast?
Yeah, I said this dumb podcast.
Oh.
No, I love our podcast.
This breaks my heart.
I know, I love our podcast. I'm just kind of mad because I think it might be ruining books for me.
He did mention that in the last episode.
Like 3 episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We're,
that's right. We're time warped.
Time warped.
We're totally time warped.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we won't.
So there's that.
So yeah, women in America are not having children. That's what we learned.
Yeah.
As much. But that actually, statistically, there's a map. I forget what it's called. It's online and it tracks, it's like pretty much in real time
mm-hmm.
life death map. Mm-hmm. Of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, like, old Europe, America, have not completely negative birth rates, but are, like...
They're declining.
They're declining, and they're barely... They're, like, 1-to-1.
Wow.
And it's interesting to look at. Because some of them even do have... Like, I think Japan's might be negative at this point, where they're having...
I believe that.
More death than birth.
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting to look at the whole map of the
yeah.
of the world and see where there's lots of kids, lots of people having kids, and lots of...
Yeah.
And then the areas where they're not.
That is.
And it explains a lot of shit that's happening currently.
Yeah.
With talks of political nature.
Sure. Which we shall not
oh, let's
get
avoid
into.
For that particular topic, so...
Yeah, so
well,
you want to do our...
We should rate the book.
Mm-hmm. Dirty Pleasure rating.
Dirty Pleasure rating.
Of course.
Would help if we ever knew what
ever.
Our numbers were.
Oh.
But since we're real bad at it.
One day we are going to get this.
You'd think at 24 episodes we could do it. The thing is, we keep changing shit.
That's true, we do.
Okay. It was definitely sizzling. You know, I really did like the interaction. I really do like Donovan and Alex and their interaction. I think it is well done because it's teasy. I liked it more than I like Quinn and Sarah in their particular, just the way those characters interact.
Sure.
You know, Quinn was a little bit too crazy possessive and Sarah was a little meek and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Alex is almost fearless in the face of the fact that she watched dragons kill her partner and set her lab on fire.
Yeah.
And then she was unconscious for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd have a much stronger reaction to that than she is having. She's handling it remarkably
well.
She's just like, okay, move on, new plan. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna take a little bit of time to freak out about that. But so she's real strong and like real fearless, and Donovan's just sexy. It's just hot. But God.
Who did you picture for this one? Mine kept going back and forth between, like, Vin Diesel and someone else that's not him.
No. Donovan needs hair. So it's not Vin Diesel.
He does maybe need hair. Maybe, like,
Tom Hardy?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like,
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
To be a little Tom Hardy.
Oh, there you go. And I like that. I didn't even think of the hair part.
He needs hair.
But
yeah, so I think I'll give it a 6, which is
sizzling. Your overall?
I'm going to go overall. I'm going to say for the whole thing, because I like the storyline. It may be that I've read it too many times now, and it's kind of like lost its luster. Like, I really think sometimes the first reads on these books...
Oh, sure.
...really... or give you exactly what you want out of them, and then they're not exactly the kind of books that are meant to be, like, reread lots and lots.
Sure.
They're not fucking Pride and Prejudice, guys.
No, they're not.
You can reread 1,000 times and still come away with new shit.
And when you were reading them the first time, that was the moment you were reading them in the closet.
That's true.
With the flashlight and...
Basically.
...a bag of chips.
And like, I was only, like, 20.
You know. Right.
And I was reading romance novels for the first time. So it was all very new and novel, and now I'm jaded and old. Oh, sad days.
Oh.
But yeah, I think I liked it. I mean, I really do. I don't want to say I don't like these books anymore.
Sure.
I do find this whole Fate Firestorm shit problematic. But the next one is really one of my favorites. I can't wait till we get to it. We're not going to read it next. We're going to give it some space. But...
Yeah.
But the next one in this series is like, so good.
I'm going to have to give... I'll give this book a 6, I think, you know, because I know it's leading on to bigger and better stories. It was a lot to read. There was a lot going on in it. So I'm good with the 6. But the sex alone, I think I'm going to have to go with the 5. Coochie Twinge 5. Because it wasn't that great. I think the described sex between Sarah and Quinn in the first book, even in the shower scene when we talked about how much we hate showers,
it was a sexy fucking
it was
scene.
So
it's the
sexy.
Kind of scene that makes you think, yeah, I should go have sex in the shower.
Yes, it was.
And then you do it and you go, no, I don't like this.
This is not how it's working.
Why is this?
It didn't happen that way with Quinn and Sarah.
Why are they so much sexier than us?
Exactly.
So upsetting.
This one was real quick. It was, I mean, they had sex. They used a condom the first time because they're trying to not let this firestorm happen. And the firestorm, just so everyone knows, increases as it gets closer to ending.
Like, the longer that you prolong it, the hotter...
The hotter
like
the
you're like melting shit around you now,
pretty much
when the two of you are in a room together.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I can give this like a 5.5 overall.
Okay. So yeah.
Cool. So on to our next book, which I'm super excited about, and it may not be as great.
Hey,
but you never know.
Sometimes you go back to your first loves.
Yeah. So we're going to get back to one that I read. It'll be my first one that I've ever read, and I can't remember much of it. So it'll be good. And this one is going to be narrated to us. It's through audiobooks, which is going to be awesome also. So it's we're going to read Guilty Pleasure. Is it Pleasures or Pleasure?
I think it's Pleasures. Then Laurel Hamilton first in the Anita Blake series, right?
Yeah, it's Guilty Pleasures, the first book of the Anita Blake series, Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series.
Yeah, so the official title is Guilty Pleasures, Anita Blake, comma, Vampire Hunter.
Yes. Yes, from Laurel K. Hamilton, and it'll be narrated by Kimberly Alexis.
Alexis.
No, I'm saying Alex.
See? Damn Alex, Alexis. My brother's name is Alex. The whole world is very convoluted. But yes, Guilty Pleasures, Laurel K. Hamilton. Yeah.
And this book's a little bit old. It's from like 1997 or something. Like, it's old. Oh, shit. This is an older book, so we're going to get back into like Walkmans and shit. I don't know.
But oh, that'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Having a world where the freaking cell phone isn't around yet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I enjoy those.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be...
It says 10 years... Well, I don't know when that was written. Published almost 10 years ago, but I think that was written 10 years ago. like 20 years.
I could be wrong.
I thought we looked it up once, and it was sometime in the 90s.
Yeah.
This is us Googling shit on the fly, guys.
Yeah. Good. Oh, look at all of this stuff. Laurel. Novel.
Yep, not getting anywhere. With this.
1993.
Geez.
Yeah. We were in middle school. No, were we? Yes.
Yeah, barely. We were 11.
Fuck. So it may not be as steamy.
Or it could be crazy good old school porn like.
Dude, it could be. It could be like crazy softcore old school.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be.
I mean, eventually, as you get further on into the series, because I'm on, like, book 7 or 8 in the series, and she just doesn't stop having sex. She just gets fucked all the time.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. By, like, multiple different types of creatures. So, well, I mean, you know, humans. But, well, not humans, but shifters of sorts.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what's next. So, come back in 2 weeks. And you will hear that
book. Please.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you. In the meantime, if you have anything you want to talk to us about, you can find us on all the social media platforms at Dirty Books. That's with 3 H's. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
And you can find us on our website at dirtybooks.com and Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, and whatever the new iTunes thing is. I don't know.
Apple
we should probably
Podcasts.
Figure that Apple Podcasts. All of those, any of those podcast
Anywhere
places.
So everywhere.
Yeah. So thank you once again. This is Saylet.
This is Kalina.
Oh, what? Yes.
Sorry. Oh.
And a quick sorry. And a quick shout out to Jim Townsend for the intro.
Yes,
thank you for the
music. Thank you, Jim.
The intro and the outro. And all right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode with some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.